This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio, and thank you for joining us. By the way, if you listen to the program and are blessed by it, love to hear from you. Love your comments. I read in every one of them. So thank you for those who have posted on the website and posted elsewhere about how the show has been a blessing and a benefit to you. And if you're listening in for the first time and wondering, who is Blazing Grace? We are a ministry to people who struggle with porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery, and we offer counseling, online groups with Zoom meetings. We have 8 support groups going on during the week by Zoom that are prayer and support groups that don't cost anything. So if you're struggling and breaking out of isolation is one of the key components of the recovery process, then contact us and sign up for one of those. And then I have a ton of content on the website, videos. I've written 9 books. I speak in churches and other ministry organizations, lead conferences, retreats. I've spoken in churches, given the Sunday morning message. So we offer everything, really, in this issue. And there are a lot of people struggling with this, with the surveys these days showing that 70% of Christian men and 30% and growing of Christian women, and 90% of youth, even more than that, are engaged in some form of sexual sin. So I continue to scream from the rooftops, these issues have to be brought to the light, full force, industrial strength in the church, Sunday morning, and everywhere, because so many people are in bondage to these things. So the next 2 weeks, this week and this week, I'm going to do something a little different. I like to read books and articles from the saints of old. I'll say that. The saints that have gone and transitioned into eternity. And what I find is with a lot of them, they have what I will call single-minded focus, where their focus was on giving their all. Their focus was on making an impact. And they would set aside, a lot of them set aside the pleasures and entertainments of this world. And even we're talking about 100, 200, 300 years ago. And a lot of these people made a huge emphasis in prayer. And I know in my own life, prayer is, as I make it the top priority, it makes a huge difference. And so what I want to do is read you some quotes from some of these people who have gone on to be with the Lord. And I think, and the other thing you'll notice is a lot of them from these old saints, they're very pointed. And we've lost a lot of that today, where we tend to kind of jump around the hard topics in the scripture. And I mean, we don't hear very often the words about sex, porn, masturbation, but what about hell, which is very real, or sin, or the effects of sin and the risks of it? So let's start off. The first quote is from Vance Havner. He was born in 1901, died in 1986. I have one of his early books at home that he wrote in the 1930s. I have a first publishing a copy of it. So that's in my collection. And Vance wrote, "It cost the Son of God his life. and it'll cost you everything you've got to be a New Testament Christian. We've got a strange doctrine today that I can take Jesus as my Savior and won't go to hell, but I'm not going to be all out for Jesus. If you're not going all out, you might as well stay out, because Jesus said discipleship is an all-out, total, absolute commitment. In the verse that comes to my mind, where Jesus said, anyone who would follow me, take up his cross, and basically saying, crucify self with all his passions, desires, and lusts. And so those are some pretty sharp words. And saying that salvation is not just fire insurance. Salvation is much more than that. A lot of people use the words that salvation is free, but if you start reading through the New Testament and Paul's letters, there are a lot of expectations and demands of believers and warnings, and Jesus talked about the narrow path, which few will find. To me, that is so very dangerous, and that is a warning to us to make sure when we're walking in this time that we don't waste it and that we're sure that we're walking close to Christ. So how are you doing today? Is there some kind of sin you're in bondage to? A sin maybe you've been in bondage to for years, even decades, that's choking your life with God? What's your perspective of the Christian life about, and what is the time that you invest with your relationship with the Lord? What does that look like? Is it just going to church on Sunday morning and that's it? You're done with God, and maybe you have a little bit of devotional time in the morning, you know, 5-10 minutes or whatever, and then boom, you're gone. Maybe your prayer life is just a few moments of, okay, God, this is my day, bless me, help me, boom, I'm gone. We all have to take a hard look at where we are, and do I really have a love relationship with the Lord that surpasses everything, and am I going all out? We're coming up to Easter pretty soon, and I've been kind of chewing on that. And in the moments, days leading up to Easter, there was the Last Supper, where Satan entered Judas, who would eventually betray him. And then Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where in agony he was praying with such fervency that blood was seeping out of his pores, going to the Father saying, God, I want out of this deal. I don't want crucifixion. I don't want the suffering and torment that's coming up in front of me. And he went and found the disciples, asked them to pray, and they fell asleep, which is a sharp rebuke to those of us who are asleep spiritually today. Then he was surrounded by soldiers. Judas kissed him. He was taken off, beaten, shamed, taken, and this was by the religious leaders of the time, taken to Pilate, where he was mocked, stripped, scourged, beaten, tortured. And then he went to the cross, which is excruciating agony. And all the way to his last breath, Jesus was giving everything. He was, even there on the cross, he forgave those who loved him. So broken bread and poured out wine. He poured out everything until the very end. And there are some, I know, who see Christianity as just kind of I'm going to go to church because that's what good Christians are supposed to do. And maybe I'll have a little bit of Bible time because that's what good Christians are supposed to do. But you're missing the whole thing there, that the core of Christianity is about a love relationship with God, and that doesn't happen without a lot of time invested in that relationship. You can't just have a 2-minute touch in prayer in the morning and expect to have a close walk with God. He has to be our all and our everything. And then This is another quote from Vance Havner, where he says, "You never have a revival in a comfortable church. Never. Something has to happen to stir up the saints." And if there's one thing that I think that we can honestly look at is that we're just way too comfort-driven. We want to go to church and we sit for an hour and 20 minutes. Maybe we stand up a little bit during worship. We want a nice, maybe a little bit of conviction, but not too much. And we go home and we're done. How does that stir us up to give everything to God? Is this a message we're hearing that there has to be a no-compromise, all-in, all-the-way relationship with the Lord? Well, he surpasses everything. Oswald Chambers, he's one of my favorites. He was born 1874, and he died in 1917 at the age of 43. He is known for being the author of My Utmost for His Highest, a book he did not write, but has his name on it. And what happened was Biddy, his wife, was a professional stenographer, and she took shorthand notes of all of his messages when he was alive, and then she compiled them into a book. It's an amazing story if you have the time to read it. But Oswald's insights just blow me away, and I can't encourage you enough, if you haven't read My Utmost for His Highest, to grab it. It's a daily devotional. And this was taken from David McCaslin's book, the autobiography on Oswald, and this was a conversation between Oswald's wife, Biddy, and Oswald. And Biddy says, "I wonder what God is going to do." And this was about a situation they were in. And then Oswald said, "I don't care what God does. It's who God is that I care about." And when I read that, it just struck me that this man had an all-out trust and all-out faith in God, that no matter what happened, there was trust, whether it's suffering or circumstances that were tough that came his way. He didn't budge. And in the biography, Oswald is quoting as saying, "I will not fear. I will trust God." And a lot of his motto was, "Trust God and do the next step." And this is a very piercing question to all of us. What happens when the bottom of your life drops out? And we, including me, have all struggled with the times when we're hit with something fearful, something stressful, anxiety-causing, whatever. And instead of going to the Lord, we hit the panic button. And the way this man lived his life was in the flow of whatever the Lord wanted to do. And part of this has to come down to surrender. To what level have you surrendered your life to God so that no matter what happens, whether it's suffering or spiritual warfare or a spouse that's hurting you or family and friends that are hurting you, loss of job, finances, anything, that you will trust God and surrender to him no matter what. And part of the wisdom that comes into play is to understand that the Lord has something to teach us from each and every trial. So if we start changing our perspective, we will understand that, like it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purposes. Those who love him. Do you love him, or is church just another religious thing? What does your heart look like today? Is it a clanging gong that's empty, and are you faking it? Or are you a Pharisee or a head Christian or a doctrine head like so many are, who are deep inside in the core of their heart, they're empty? Or do you have a passionate love relationship with the Lord, and no matter what he does, no matter what happens, you trust him? Have you surrendered your life to him? And in church, every once in a great while, we'll sing "I Surrender All." And I really don't like singing that song, because if God was able to look at us face to face when we were singing that, could we really say "I surrender all"? And if we really surrender all, that means that no matter what he brings our way, no matter how painful it is, we will accept it just as much as we'll accept the good stuff. Read the book of Job. for further clarification on all the hell that Job went through. In the book of James, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, as in James 1. Surrender. My friends, have you really surrendered your life to God? Or are you just really doing your life your way and you get upset when things don't go the way you think they should? Oswald also said, I never see my way. I know God who guides me, so I fear nothing. I never have far-seeing plans, only confident trust. I love that. Somebody asked me a couple years ago what my plans were from Blazing Grace, and I just looked at him and said, I don't make plans anymore. I just try and walk with God and listen to him one step at a time. And he was kind of expecting the typical American response where we have our ministry or organization planned out, you know, a six-month and a one-year plan, and I just learned that God has a tendency to interrupt my plans, turn them upside down, and when it comes to ministry, he's the source. It's not me. So it's got to be whatever he wants to do. And then if you look at the Bible, Jesus was sending people out. It's what he wants to do. So our best plan is, like what Oswald's saying, is we just stay close to the Lord, walk with him, listen in for the next step, and then when he gives you that next step, you follow it. And until he does, you wait and you do what he's already given you. But some of us just jump 20 steps ahead and we mess things all up. And I've made that mistake plenty of times myself. But it's a great way to live life. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So the big question is always going to be, what kind of relationship with God do you have? Do you have one where you are so intimate with him that you hear his voice, you're spending a lot of time in prayer, and you're walking with him and following him, or are you just doing life your way? That can kind of function sometimes, but outside of his will, eventually there's going to be a brick wall we're going to hit. The sweet spot of the Christian life is when we're right smack in the center of his will. And that's where I want to live. And oftentimes in that place, we don't know where we're going, just like Oswald said. He didn't know that at the age of 43, he was going to die young from the symptoms of appendicitis surgery. He didn't know that, but he was pouring his life out to the very end. And who gave us that malt? Jesus Christ poured his life out to the very end. My friends, are you pouring your life out, or are you just choking it? Is your life choked with entertainment? And on that note, I'm going to read you several more quotes. And this, the first one is from Blaise Pascal. He was born in 1623, died in 1662. And he wrote, all great amusements are dangerous to the Christian life. But among all those which the world has invented, there is none more to be feared than the theater. So he's saying pleasure and entertainment is dangerous to the Christian life. Why? Because it can choke us and waste so much of our time. Leonard Ravenhill, 1907 and 1994, entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. The more joy you have in the Lord, the less entertainment you need. This is from Amy Carmichael, missionary to India. And if you read her story, you'll know that she was all the way, had a single-minded focus on God all the way in the last 50 years of her life. She stayed in India and never had a furlough. This is her writing. Those of us who are God's emissaries are to treat the world not just as corruptions, but its legitimate joys, privileges, and blessing is a thing to be touched at a distance. We must be aware at all times if we are caught by its spirit, we will lose our sensitivity to the very breath of the Most High, and we will no longer receive the manna that falls from heaven. It's not that God forbids us this or that comfort or indulgence, but that we who love God and we whose affections are set on the things of heaven today, we voluntarily and gladly lay aside the things that charm the world so that we may be charmed and ravished by heaven. This world is not for us. There are some people, maybe in the last year, that the most they can say they've done spiritually is they've spent hundreds of hours watching Christian TV or in front of their screen or The Chosen or whatever it is. And when you step into eternity, that will vanish in an instant. Whether it's Christian entertainment or secular entertainment, it doesn't matter. Sitting in front of a screen is not going to be, is not pouring your life out for God. It's not spending time in prayer. And we think that entertainment is a right. You can have as much as you want, but you can also have as much as God as you want, but you can't have as much of both of you want. The average Christian, average American will spend 900 a year watching TV, 900 hours a year engaged in social media, another 728 hours a year playing video games, plus time at movie theaters, sporting events, and other forms of entertainment. So we're spending several thousand hours a year in entertainment. It's choking us. You cannot have a vital prayer life when you're spending that much time with that stuff. And then in her biography of Amy Carmichael, Elizabeth Elliot writes, "Amy Carmichael set the example and paid the price. Sometimes in conflict with fellow believers, the matter of using pictures of Christ, a common practice among missionaries, was unthinkable to Amy. No one, she felt, had a right to presume to imagine that God is the Son of God. Who could possibly separate manhood from godhood? She shrank in dread from such holy ground and reminded those who disagreed with her that the apostles had avoided all appeal to the senses, trusting in the power of the Word of God alone. The church, Amy said, and catch this, resorts to pictures only when her power has gone. There is no power in watching TV. There is no power in front of a screen. We're delusional if you think that doing these things is some sort of spiritual power or something. No. So many of us are choked. I mean, I've seen videos of people have said they've binged watched all the seasons of The Chosen. Don't do that. Pour your life out into prayer, the things that matter. 2 Corinthians 5, 9-10. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We're all going to, 1 second before we die, the only thing that will matter will be our relationship with the Lord and what we invested our life in. If you've invested your life in thousands of hours of entertainment, you'll come up empty in that side. That doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation, and I'm certainly not the judge of that. Don't waste your life. Pour it out, broken bread, pour it out wine, just like Jesus modeled for us. The next and last quote I'll read today is from Charles Spurgeon, a preacher from 1830. He was born 1834, died 1892. He's called the Prince of Preachers from England, and he says, "Perhaps God will deliver you from some darling sin that you cannot give up, and that will be your everlasting ruin." I remember a quote from another pastor who said, "Christ gives last knocks." That is a very sorrowful thought. Jesus knocks at the door of our heart, but there is such a thing as a last knock. And there are those who will get their last knock before long, and God will never knock again. We cannot play with God and treat him like a hobby. All out, all in. That's the message. We can't. The lukewarm makes them want to puke. That should inspire some of the fear of the Lord. We need more of the sharp messages of these saints of old. So next week, I'm going to continue with more messages from others, starting with Charles Spurgeon. And I would encourage you, if this radio station or this radio show has been a blessing to you, to consider supporting us financially. We're a 501c3, And if you're interested in sponsoring the radio show in your local area, no matter where you are, contact us, and we can get it put on the air there. Thank you for joining us, and I'll talk to you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.